The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Good morning. It is time to get up with a Dolphins disaster. Tampering with Tampa Tom. The owner reacts. We're all over the story. Meanwhile, the clock is ticking. Will the NFL appeal the Deshaun decision? We've got the very latest for our insiders standing by. And then, just what they couldn't afford. The Cowboys need help. Does Dak have enough around him to carry this team to a title? All that and more as we get up with you. Starting right now. We will cover all those stories this morning. We will have the usual array of insiders and analysts for you. But there is only one place to begin today, and that is with the very sad news that Vin Scully has died at the age of 94. It's very likely that in the entire history of sports, no one voice touched more lives or mattered to more people than Vin Scully's did. He was far more than the greatest announcer of all time. He was a gentleman and a role model whose impact on the game of baseball will never be forgotten. Here's Jeremy Schapp.
Vin Scully called the NFL.
Montana looking, throwing in the end zone.
And golf.
Welcome to the final round of the 1982 Masters.
But baseball was his domain. Between pitches, his gifts as a storyteller were on full display.
It's the impossible dream revisited.
In 1950, when he was just 22, Scully joined the Brooklyn Dodgers broadcast team, working alongside his mentor, Red Barber. The Dodgers of that time were among the best loved and most gifted teams ever. Jackie Robinson, Duke Snyder, Roy Campanella, Gil Hodges, and Pee Wee Reese provided rich material for the young announcer. So did Johnny Podras, who shut out the Yankees in Game 7 of the 1955 World Series to give Brooklyn its only world championship. In October 1956, Scully called the only World Series no-hitter ever, Don Larsen's perfect game against the Dodgers at Yankee Stadium.
Got him! The greatest game ever been. Baseball history by Don Larsen. A no-hitter, a perfect game in a World Series.
Just over a year later, the Dodgers relocated to L.A., Scully went west with them. He called Sandy Koufax's perfect game in 1965.
Sandy into his windup. Here's the pitch. Swung on and missed a perfect game.
And Dennis Martinez's in 1991. Over the course of nearly 60 years in L.A. until his retirement in 2016, Scully called thousands of L.A. Dodgers games, either on television, or radio, or both.
Believe me when I tell you, I've needed you far more than you needed me.
You talk about Dodger tradition, Vince Scully, the greatest announcer in this country. You talk about cut his heart open, you'll see Dodger tattooed on that heart too.
As the lead play-by-play announcer for both CBS and later NBC on their national baseball broadcast, Scully would see his audience extend far beyond Southern California. He was, for instance, the man who described to millions the crucial play in Game 6 of the 1986 World Series.
Behind the bag! It gets through Buckner! Here comes Knight and the Mets win it!
Scully's voice beautifully accompanied the highlights of October, but it was his remarkable radio call of a home run in a game played on April 8, 1974 that best demonstrates his unique brand of genius.
Fastball is a high drive into deep left center field. Buckner goes back to the fence. It is gone.
I was listening that night. I don't even know the words now. But when the ball disappeared, Vin Scully stood up and turned his back on the action on the field so that he wouldn't be tempted to intrude. What a lesson for all of us.
With intelligence, impartiality, enthusiasm, and at the same time restraint, Vin Scully was the fans' ideal companion for thousands of games. In an age when so many announcers are so eager to draw attention to themselves, he knew when to assert himself and when to stand aside to allow the moment to speak for itself.
It's Jeremy Schapp with that remembrance. Vin Scully called 25 World Series. He called 12 All-Star Games, 3 perfect games, 20 no-hitters. He won numerous awards in his career, including the Ford Frick Award in 1982 and the Presidential Medal of Freedom in 2016. It is pretty safe to say there may never be another announcer that has the impact on the world of sports and beyond that Vin Scully did in his life. All right, meanwhile, now to the rest of the very busy day in sports, and we begin with the scandal that has rocked the National Football League. Dolphins owner Stephen Ross has been suspended, his team stripped of draft picks for tampering with Tom Brady. The NFL found that the Dolphins first illegally communicated with Brady in 2019, which was Brady's last year in New England. The league says the Dolphins did it again after last season while Brady was with the Buccaneers to try to recruit him as a limited partner and a player. Meanwhile, in January, the league says the Dolphins had impermissible communication with Brady and Sean Payton's agent, Don Yee, about Payton joining Miami as head coach. At the time, Payton was under contract with New Orleans. However, the NFL says it found no evidence that the Dolphins intentionally lost games during the 2019 season. You'll recall that in February, the former coach Brian Flores accused Ross of offering him $100,000 for every game his team lost that season. After the announcements yesterday, Ross himself released this. The independent investigation cleared our organization on any issues relating to tanking and all of Brian Flores' other allegations. As I have said all along, these allegations were false, malicious, and defamatory, and this issue is now put to rest. With regards to tampering, I strongly disagree with the conclusions and the punishment. However, I will accept the outcome because the most important thing is that there be no distractions for our team as we begin an exciting and winning season. I will not allow anything to get in the way of that. Here was Adam Schefter on NFL Live yesterday.
If anybody paid attention to NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell's words today, they heard a very loud statement. He said he had never seen tampering like this. It was unprecedented in scope and severity. For the commissioner to say that I know of no prior instance of a team violating the prohibition of tampering with both a head coach and a star player, Sean Payton and Tom Brady, to the potential detriment of other clubs over a period of several years, tells you all you need to know. The penalties were severe against Stephen Ross.
The words were severe and the punishments are significant. The Dolphins have been stripped of their first round pick this year. Now, they had two of them in this year's upcoming draft. Now they will just have the one. They also lose a third rounder in 2024. Ross himself has been fined $1.5 million and suspended through October 17th. Dolphins Vice Chairman Bruce Beal has been suspended for the remainder of the 2022 season, which for all intents and purposes is the entirety of the 2022 season. All right, here's the group that I've put together for you today. Dan Orlovsky is ready to go. Chris Canty is in my studio. Mike Tannenbaum worked for Stephen Ross and the Dolphins for several years as their general manager, and our insider today is Diana Russini. Diana, help us fill in some more of what we can hear, what we heard around the league after the announcement of these significant penalties and findings against the Dolphins yesterday.
Yeah, Greeny, let's just start with the tone around the league has been good. Punishment for cheating and doing it the wrong way for all those teams, all those owners, GMs, head coaches, players that have been doing it the right way. They're sitting back happy to see that there's been punishment for doing it the wrong way. And you know, sometimes we see around the league, there can be a little anti-league, anti-Roger Goodell, right? That seems to be the way it's been for years, but not in this case because there was wrongdoing here. So for the teams that do it right, they feel like yesterday was really a win for them.
And Mike Tannenbaum, the name Tom Brady comes into this as well, and there are no findings or punishments against him in all of this. Can you explain that part of it quickly?
Sure, Greeny, because the anti-tampering policy doesn't apply to players. We're going to get into player discipline here in a minute with Deshaun Watson, and that's prescribed in the collective bargaining agreement. But the anti-tampering policy applies to owners, as in this case, front office executives and coaches, and that's why Tom Brady, even if he was involved in these discussions, wouldn't be penalized under this policy.
Okay, fair enough. But How do we react to the Brady of it all here, Mike T? I mean, some will look at this and wonder about it. Is there any issue with this here at all?
Well, obviously, there were discussions that went on. I think it's worth noting, Greeny, that the agent, Don Yee, represents both Tom Brady and Sean Payton. So, obviously, the conversations could have been three ways. But, again, be it Deflategate or other issues that have come up with players, like, they are held accountable within our system. It's just under a different policy. So, what Tom Brady knew or didn't know, we'll never know that. But what we do know is there were conversations and the Dolphins were held accountable and lost multiple draft choice and fined a substantial amount of money.
Now, that first-round pick is a very big deal indeed. That doesn't happen often in the NFL. Danny, you have been vigorously both nodding and shaking your head along the way. Go.
I thought of Tua right away, Greeny, and I think Tua is a massive winner in this situation because the Dolphins, prior to yesterday, had two picks in the first round leading up to the 2023 NFL draft. Well, not one of those is gone, and I think that's going to minimize their chances of trying to get another quarterback next year if Tua is not good enough. I mean, think about it this way, Greeny. This is a football team that many of us believe are going to be playing for playoff contention into December. So not only are they down a first-round pick, their first-round pick's probably not going to be an incredibly high pick. And I think the loss of a first-round pick is a big deal because I want everyone to close their eyes and imagine the Cincinnati Bengals without Ja'Marr Chase. Imagine the Los Angeles Chargers without Justin Herbert. That first-round draft pick loss is a big deal. And Tua now, if he plays good football, has even more incentive, or the Dolphins have even more incentive now to keep him because they don't have those two first-round picks. I think this is a huge win for Tua Tagovailoa.
Yeah, or otherwise put, they have less ability to replace him.
For sure.
If it doesn't go well. Yeah. But Chris Canty, I was going through some of the notes that we got from you last night, and you seemed to react fairly strongly to Stephen Ross's statement. And we put it up on the screen for you earlier, and I read it in its entirety. What part of that were you reacting to?
Well, just the part that Stephen Ross says he was cleared of any wrongdoing. And it's interesting that Mike T brought up the Deshaun Watson situation.
Yeah.
Judge Robinson said in her ruling, her decision to suspend Deshaun Watson was in part because there was a lack of remorse for his behavior. And that's exactly what Stephen Ross's statement comes off as. And quite frankly, Greeny, it's the very definition of fake news, right? Pushing alternative facts to fit a narrative that you're trying to create that best suits you. The receipts with Brian Flores are there. If you look at it, Brian Flores in his class action lawsuit claimed that he was recruited to participate in a recruitment scheme for an unnamed quarterback. Turns out that quarterback ends up being Tom Brady. Brian Flores also said that his owner tried to incentivize losing in 2019 in order to have a better draft pick in 2020. Well, the independent investigation done by the NFL validates what Brian Flores was saying in terms of people in the organization recounting what Stephen Ross told them about losing games in 2019 in order to improve draft position in 2020. So stop me when we get to the part where Stephen Ross was cleared of any wrongdoing. I'm still waiting for it, Greeny. And you know what else I'm waiting for? The apology from the NFL to Brian Flores, because they were quick to dismiss Brian Flores' claims in his class action lawsuit on February 1st. And it turns out that a lot of the things that Brian Flores claimed were actually validated in the independent investigation that the NFL did.
To be clear, that's right. What they found was not that he had never said those things, but only that they did not rise to the level of incentivizing tanking. I mean, you can call it a distinction without a difference. You can call it whatever you want, but you were right. He's saying that the allegations were proven to be false, malicious, and defamatory, and that the issue is now put to rest. Let's face it, that was the most significant charge in all of this. That's not the kind of thing for which you lose a draft pick. That's the kind of thing for which they take your team away. So this does not rise to that. Dan, you look skeptical.
Well, what does Chris want? We all can sit here. Listen, Stephen Ross didn't write that statement. But what is it? I mean, they banged them $1.5 million. They took away a first-round draft pick, and he can't be there for 6 months this season. What else? We can all sit here and say that both things probably are true, that Brian Flores is statements were accurate, and the NFL came down hard on the Dolphins and Stephen Ross. I feel it's the first time that the NFL finally got the punishment right on the for Chris, a first-round pick's a big deal now. I mean, we can't pretend
you're punishing the club, Dan Orlovsky. You're not punishing Stephen Ross. They fined Stephen Ross $1.5 million, and they told him to stay away from the team until mid-October.
So
for
what else
a guy
do you
that's
want
worth
to Stephen
over
Ross?
$8 billion in a franchise that generated $375 million in 2020, that's not a huge penalty. And so my point is, when is there going to be a accountability for the actions of Stephen Ross. That's the issue. What he did or what he was trying to do amounts to fraud. There's no other way to frame it. And so I'm with G on this one. I think this is a situation that could potentially rise to the level where you could talk about taking a guy's team away. That's how significant what Stephen Ross did in terms of undermining the integrity of the NFL. Well, that's what happened in 2019, and it's not right.
Are you saying this in regards to the tampering, or are you saying this in regards to the incentivizing to the Brian Flores as a head coach to lose? I agree with the whole tanking thing, but, Chris, like we see across sports all the time. We saw it with the Houston Astros. It paid off to become a World Series champion. You know, like, organizations do this. I have said this multiple times. Organizations and front offices tank. Players and head coaches, they do not. So if we're talking about tanking, that's a different situation. But the tampering, all he's trying to do is make an investment in the future. He did it incorrectly. There's consequences for trying to cheat. A first-round pick, we cannot – Chris, imagine the Bengals without Ja'Marr Chase. That's a completely different organization. The Chargers without Justin, that's a completely different organization. He did something wrong. And we can't crush the NFL for every single time they levy a penalty, and it's not exactly the way we want it. I feel this is a pretty good job by the NFL going, we are going to take your first-round pick away, another third-round pick. I understand $1.5 million ain't a lot, but it's still a chunk of change. I mean, that's pretty heavy. And the reality of that organization publicly being ridiculed, so to speak, because of it.
Here's the thing. Neither one of you are saying, I don't disagree with either one of you, which is to say that I think in the area of the tampering, they came down very hard on the Miami Dolphins. Of that, there is no question. That's an organizational punishment for something the organization did. They did not find that he went beyond what Dan is saying in incentivizing losing. There are teams that will incentivize furthering their draft interest over winning games in the short term. That happens in sports. We all hate it, but it happens in sports. That's why he's saying he was cleared of it. What I was saying is if they had found he legitimately did, specifically to the letter of the law, what Brian Flores is saying, say, I'll give you $100,000 for every game you lose, that's the kind of thing that would rise to the level of taking your team away. Now, they did not find that. Doesn't mean it didn't happen, but that's not what they found, and that's why Stephen Ross is saying he was exonerated.
Well, there's another layer to this because the NFL is still facing a class action lawsuit, so they can't come out and have that kind of admission because there are other implications with that. But the other part to the tampering piece that nobody's talking about is what about Brian Flores' claims of an inequitable opportunity when it came to coaching the team? In 2019, he had an owner that told people within the organization that we're prioritizing the draft pick in 2020 rather than winning games in 2019, while Stephen Ross is actively recruiting Sean Payton from the New Orleans Saints to be his next head coach.
Yeah.
What part of the game is that? So when we start talking about an uneven playing field and competitive balance and integrity of the game, even the tampering charge should be more significant in terms of the penalty that Stephen Ross faces. I admit the Dolphins got levied a significant penalty, but Stephen Ross himself, I think there has to be more accountability, more discipline.
Let me get everyone else in here. We're going to stay here now for the rest of this block, and we'll get back to some of the other news of the day coming up. Diana, jump in here if you can and fill in any of the blanks as you hear this going back and forth, because there are two separate pieces to this. Let's just make clear for the audience.
Right.
There are two separate things. There's the tampering with Tom Brady and Sean Payton, and then there's the incentivizing losing. Those are two separate things all within one conversation and one investigation. Diana, go.
Yeah, let's just start with the player tampering, okay? So Chris, I hear your point on there should be a penalty. I also think Tom Brady's being put in a really tough position here too. Do we believe that he should come out here and apologize or take some responsibility for this? But the reality is, and not all fans know this, but there are conversations that are had between agents and organizations all the time about players. Does it fall underneath the label of tampering? It could. This goes on all the time. So this is really the first time we're seeing a team get penalized for it. It's one of those rules where, you know, it's like the yellow traffic light. You know, you kind of wink, wink, and go through. It's like it kind of falls in that space a little bit. So to see this be a very loud statement from the league that they are not going to allow this, I think this is good. I'm with Dan. I think this is great on the league.
Let me get Tannenbaum in here real quick before I have to go to a break. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, I think we ought to focus on the process, not the result. And this is where I do give the league credit. They hired a former federal prosecutor to do a thorough investigation over several months. And I think what the commissioner did is he just followed the process. And when you read her words, again, Greedy, you mentioned this, there was not corroboration about what may have been happening in terms of tanking. If there was, if a third-party neutral found that, I think we're talking about a totally different conversation. So that's why I think the league deserves credit. Like, the process was thorough, it was neutral, and on the corroboration of the tampering and all that evidence, they were hammered. So that's why I think we got to focus on not the results in as much as how did Roger get to the result that he did, which was, again, using somebody that was outside of his office to do all the work in terms of where were the actual facts.
Okay, so let me leave it there for the moment. I have to go to a break. We will come back with much more on this and our other top stories of the day, which will include the latest on the Deshaun Watson decision. Then we'll get to the Cowboys. They suffer a huge injury in training camp. The question now is, does Dak have enough weapons? You will hear from that man who has to make the decisions. Plus, does Tom Brady need to have the best season of his career to win another Super Bowl? We're talking about that on this, Tom Brady's 45th birthday. It's Get Up on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
We're back on Get Up. Hey, Chris Canty, take a look at this. This is Micah Parsons returning punts in Cowboys training camp. You tell me what this guy can't do.
Well, Greeny, he's the best defensive player in the National Football League, and now he's out there catching punts like he's a wide receiver. I mean, Micah Parsons is special. He is a football playing Jesse, as Bill Parcells would say. And I got to tell you, the Dallas Cowboys, Will McClay, they hit the nail on the head when they got this guy, because he is going to be a special, special player.
They traded back and got him. Might be the best pick of all time, but now they need help. Does Dak have enough around him to carry his team to a title after a bad injury? We'll answer that question next.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
We walk
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Welcome you back to Get Up on something of a sad morning. The legendary Vin Scully, voice of so many memorable moments, has died at the age of 94.
3-2 to Mookie Wilson. Little roller up along first, behind the back.
Hear in his voice the moment he realizes that the ball has gotten through. The CEO of the Dodgers is Stan Kasten. He said, "We've lost an icon, Vin Scully, one of the greatest voices in all of sports, a giant of a man, not only as a broadcaster, but a humanitarian. He loved people, he loved life, he loved baseball and the Dodgers, and he loved his family. His voice will always be heard and etched in all of our minds forever." The man broadcast 67 years of Major League Baseball. It is possible that no one voice ever touched more people than his did in sports history. And Buster Olney is one of those. He grew up on a dairy farm in Vermont as a Dodger fan. Buster, what do we say about Vin Scully on this morning?
Greeny, that he was absolutely perfect for baseball with that amazing pacing that he had, with the storytelling. A lot of broadcasters would joke that if Vin Scully needed a foul ball to finish a story, he would always get it. And that incredible deference that he had to players and to fans. In that moment when Kirk Gibson hits the game-winning home run in the World Series in 1988, for him to lay out and let the crowd tell the story for 68 seconds, that's why people invited him into their home. I can tell you, I was scared to death of him. You know, he was like a baseball god to me. I actually didn't speak to him until his last year. He came on my podcast and he spoke to me like I was a peer, which was ridiculous because he's the greatest ever.
He was that level of gentleman, even as when I was in my early 20s trying to book him for a talk show, and he could not have treated me more kindly. And I was a 23-year-old young man trying to ask him to do me a favor. Anyway, the all-time great Vin Scully. Let's get to the business of baseball on this day, Buster. And that is, the trade we knew was coming has come. Juan Soto traded to the Padres yesterday. How does that impact the way we see the rest of the National League season?
Yeah, Greeny, I think it vaults the Padres into the group of elite National League teams that could reach the World Series. The Braves are already there. The Mets are already there. The Dodgers are already there. And now you have the Padres with excellent starting pitching and Juan Soto to help to anchor their lineup. He's someone who in October can beat great pitchers in big moments. The big X factor for the Padres, Fernando Tatis Jr. How will he be as he comes back from that wrist injury? Imagine being Bob Melvin, the manager of the Padres, getting to write in Tatis Jr. in the leadoff spot, then Juan Soto, then Manny Machado, then Josh Bell. That's pretty impressive.
All right, so the Padres are a National League contender that add a huge piece. The New York Mets, whom you mentioned, are another National League contender, and they may have added as big a piece as you could possibly imagine yesterday. Jacob DeGrom making his season debut. Let me show you the pictures of his performance from last night as DeGrom joining the Mets and making his first performance, taking on those Nationals who earlier in the day had traded away so many pieces. It's the game of the night. You see DeGrom taking the mound for the first time in well over a year, and the fans letting him hear it. And then he does it right away. This is the first batter of the game. DeGrom, 102 miles an hour at the knees, looking very much like his own self. Now a 1-2 count to Victor Robles, and here comes the slider, and that's DeGrom with his first strikeout in his return. But wait, there's more. The next batter is Luis Garcia. Down he goes. Bottom of four were scoreless. The Nationals had a runner at second with nobody out, and it's Garcia again. And he's going to see a fastball from DeGrom again. And that one he's going to catch up to. And that one's going in the gap. And the Nationals would take a 1-0 lead. That would be the only run that DeGrom would allow in five strong innings. Gave up three hits, struck out six, including Nelson Cruz here to end the inning there with a runner at third. So those were DeGrom's numbers on the night. Meanwhile, bottom six were tied at one. Nationals have a runner on with one out. And Garcia is going to untie it with that swing. So on the day they trade away Soto, the Nationals knock off DeGrom and the Mets by a final score of 5-1. But the story here, obviously, is the return of DeGrom and the impact he could have, Buster. How do we describe what we think Jacob DeGrom will mean in the same way we just asked you about Soto the rest of the way?
If he stays healthy, the Mets could beat any team in the National League. They could wind up winning the World Series. When you have Jacob DeGrom with the elite talent that he has, the domination, you team him with Max Scherzer, that's a duo. In any short series, they can beat any team. They can beat any group, any lineup. The question, of course, with DeGrom, can he stay healthy? Look, we saw last year, whenever we would pitch, we'd see 99 to 100, 102 miles per hour. But the key question was the next day. Was he able to hold up? So I'm sure that the Mets officials will go to the ballpark today, holding their breath, seeing if DeGrom still feels okay after throwing so hard last night.
And so will all of their fans. The National League got interestinger and interestinger yesterday. Robert Stanberry, only the third. Buster, thank you very much. And if you love baseball, don't miss tomorrow night. ESPN Films' seven-part docuseries, The Captain, continues. We'll have episodes 5 and 6. It's an unprecedented look into Derek Jeter's life and career on and off the field. It's 9 Eastern on ESPN and ESPN Plus. By the way, if you missed parts 1, 2, 3, or 4, you can always watch them on ESPN Plus whenever you would like. All right, back to the NFL. The Cowboys lost another wide receiver to injury earlier this week. James Washington expected to be out 6 to 10 weeks with a foot injury. Yesterday, here was Jerry Jones on the status of the wide receiver room in Dallas.
I don't want to be out here pushing, be aggressive as far as being going outside, looking at what may be available that are free agents right now or otherwise. So I don't think it's urgent at all. I think we've got a lot of ways to throw the ball.
He says, I don't think it's urgent, but you take a look here and you see all of the departures and losses, including Washington there, no Amari Cooper. So one man's not so urgent might be another man's, holy smoke, we got a problem here. Let me ask Dan Orlovsky which of those men he is as we take a look at this in Dallas. How concerned are you about the Cowboys offense right this minute, Dan Orlovsky?
Not overly concerned, because it's the situation that I've been telling the Cowboys for 3 months to do more of, and that's playing 12 personnel with one back and two tight ends. I have felt that way since they traded Amari Cooper. I think this offense is at its best, and their offensive play caller, Kellen Moore, is at its best when they have multiple tight ends on the field. CeeDee Lamb's got to take a big jump forward, but I think Dalton Schultz is one of the better young tight ends in all of football. And Sean McKeon, a younger tight end, is a good player for them. They drafted Jake Ferguson out of Wisconsin. I actually texted Kellen. I said, dude, just live in 12 personnel. It's when you're absolute best. It's when you can get your run game most committed to. It's when that allows Dak Prescott to play a little bit more on the move in their play action game. I have felt that their perimeter players were going to be lesser than they anticipated. But the Cowboys weren't winning the NFC East because of James Washington. That's not a disrespect to him. And they're not going to lose the NFC East because of James Washington. They are at their absolute best when they have multiple tight ends on the field. This only expedites that process for them.
Yeah, I believe it was Tannenbaum on this show yesterday who said, look, let's not make James Washington out to be Jerry Rice. I get that part of it.
He also said something else outrageously nuts, Greeny, when he said to go get a OBJ. That's nuts. It's nuts.
Well, why is that nuts? That's where I was going to go next. Tannenbaum, go ahead. For those who weren't with us yesterday, tell everyone the thing that you said that made Dan Orlovsky say you were crazy.
Well, Greeny, while I didn't text OBJ, if I did, here's what I would tell him. You're the best player on the planet as a free agent. You're not healthy right now, but he will give them an explosive element while Michael Gallup comes back from injury, ironically the same ACL, and he was the best football player on the field the last time he played. So while I agree with Tony Pollard, Dalton Schultz, and other ways to control the line of scrimmage, he can hit a home run and be a game changer. So I am hard-pressed to think, Dan, how in the world would the Dallas Cowboys not be a better football team with OBJ than without him? And when you think about the Rams and the Packers also having interest, I do think there's a sense of urgency to sign OBJ as quickly as possible. And I can tell you, as a former GM, when you're signing a player who's hurt, you want to sign them as soon as possible to help them through the rehab, get them to learn the playbook, so when they are ready to go, they can hit the ground running.
Go ahead, Danny, real quick.
OBJ is not going to be ready to play till like December because he tore his ACL in the middle of February. Second of all, if you're OBJ, are you leaving Sean McVay, LA, and Matthew Stafford when your role is exactly where you want it to be right now, to go to Dallas, who's not going to be able to pay you as much, to Dak Prescott and demand more of you? Absolutely not.
Yeah, I mean, that's easy. If he was going to sign with the Rams, he would have done it by now. So the fact that he has other options, and by the way, we don't know when a player is going to be ready. We can look back at Cam Akers, who had a remarkable turnaround. So I don't think we should put any sort of limit on when a player may or may not be ready. I'm just saying that by signing OBJ, he's going to help their offense as the year goes on. And to me, if I'm Dallas, I try to do that as soon as possible.
You get the man a ham and turkey sandwich. You never know what you might be able to talk him into doing. That's an inside joke from yesterday. Diana, go. What do you think of all this?
Look, Jerry did the best Texas version of Aaron Rodgers basically saying relax. He didn't share as much insight as Dan just did about the offense because he doesn't want to reveal all of it. But what Dan says is exactly why Dallas isn't making any crazy moves right now, because the focus of how they're going to be using tight ends, how they're going to be using their backs. Jerry was just talking about it a few days ago, actually. So panic, not even close in Dallas right now. James Washington, yeah, he was a contributor, but he wasn't a major superstar. The Odell Beckham Jr. element to this that Mike keeps bringing up, I think it's interesting. I still believe he winds up with the Rams. I understand why we won't get done just yet. I think it's just a matter of time before he joins. There's just no rush for Jerry to try to fix this right now at the receiver position. There's no reason.
All right, so Chris Canty, on the scale of relax, panic, which side are you on?
I'm a three in terms of the...
That's
the
not what I asked you. This is not a three. What part of this
wrong
was a
three?
You said relax or panic.
You said
a scale of 1 to 10.
No, I did not. I did not say a scale of 1 to 10.
I'm relaxed.
I physically went like
when you,
this.
When you went the scales, it kind of threw me to the scale of 1 to 10. Big picture. I'm relaxed about the Dallas Cowboys. And Dan Orlovsky is hitting all the right notes when he's talking about playing more 12 personnel, because you can play 21 looks, you can play 11 looks, and it creates favorable matchups in the passing games with your tight ends. But zooming out, big picture, you're talking about the Dallas Cowboys playing in the NFC East, a division that they swept a year ago, and you're talking about them being able to have the best quarterback in the division and the best defensive player in the division. That will give them enough runway to be able to figure things out, but it's not just about being able to get to the playoffs, get to the postseason. Jerry Jones wants to compete for a championship, and I think that's when you have the serious questions about Dak Prescott and Mike McCarthy, because the combination are 6-9 when they're playing games outside of the NFC East.
Look at Dan's face. Go ahead, Dan.
Love you. Okay, so Chris, when you said I'm a three, I don't think Greeny was asking about your physical looks. You know, I think he was asking. What I'm not going to do is let us allow their quarterback off the hook. This is a, because the question is going to be, does Dak have enough? This is a team that has they took a first round tackle in the draft this year. They have a Hall of Fame left tackle. They have a Hall of Fame right guard. They have a top 15 tailback in Ezekiel Elliott. They have a receiver they took in the first round 3 years ago, and they have two of the best defensive players in football. There is plenty to go win this division if your quarterback is what you think he is.
That's fair, and there's going to be a lot of people questioning that. Go ahead, Tannenbaum. Give me one 15-second final word. Go.
He just made the best case of why Dallas is the best team in this division because their quarterback is still the best.
No. Every person on this set besides Tannenbaum is picking the Eagles. All right, I've lost complete control of the proceedings here. And I think it began when I asked Chris Canty for a scale on one side or the other, and he said, I'm about a 3. Okay, let's take a short break on that. But just tickled me. As we continue, does Tom Brady need to have the best season of his entire career to win another Super Bowl? We'll talk about that as Tom celebrates his 45th birthday today. That's next. Get up on ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
All right, we're back on Get Up, and all of us here are wishing Tom Brady a happy 45th birthday as he continues to go places and do things that no player in the history of American sports has ever done at his age. And take a look at the, hey, Chris Canty, that's a cake from Leonard Fournette. Say happy birthday to the GOAT. What is it? It's a GOAT cake.
I love it, man. I love it by Leonard Fournette. Great creativity, but I think the ultimate homage to Tom Brady, the ultimate birthday present, is Leonard Fournette being in his playing weight and being ready to go.
Okay.
Just saying.
Perhaps. But one way or another, let's do a Tom Brady-centric version of can he or can't he? So he's 45 today. Chris, can Tom Brady throw more touchdowns than his age this season? Can he or can't he?
He can, Greeny. And listen, Tom Brady's had 83 touchdown passes over the last 2 years. So, guys, he's throwing 40-plus touchdown passes every single season he's been down in Tampa. No reason to think that he can't throw more than 45 passing touchdowns this year. They were throwing the ball 68% last year. Again, I'm not going to bet against Tom Brady. I'll be the last one to that party. Tom Brady is still a highly productive player.
Okay, well, how productive? Can Brady lead the NFL in passing as he did a year ago? Can he or can't he?
Yeah, Greeny, he can. And listen, he led the NFL in passing by a wide margin. Justin Herbert was number 2 on the passing yards list, and he was 300 yards behind Tom Brady. Tom Brady's got plenty of weapons down in Tampa to get it done if everybody stays healthy. I think that's the biggest concern. And also, there's concerns up front with the offensive line gelling. But if those two things bode in the Bucs' favor, then you're talking about Tom Brady having another huge passing season.
And can it lead to the ultimate prize? Can Brady win the Super Bowl at the age of 45? Can he or can't he?
Greeny, he's been to 10 Super Bowls in 22 seasons and he's won 7 of them. Why can't Tom Brady do it? Of course he can. Of course Tom Brady can do it. And I don't know why everybody wants to be the first ones to predict when Tom Brady's going to fall off this cliff. There's a reason why in the survey Jeremy Fowler did that Tom Brady was the 4th-ranked quarterback in the National Football League because he's a quarterback that's still capable of holding up a Lombardi trophy.
It's really remarkable as I bring Diana and Danny back into the conversation. If you just took Tom Brady's career in his 20s, he'd be in the Hall of Fame. If you just took his career in his 30s, he'd be in the Hall of Fame. And if you just took his career in his 40s, you could make an argument that he would belong in the Hall of Fame. But there are problems in Tampa. Diana, we were going into it this morning a little bit about a significant loss they had in training camp last week and why everyone may not understand just how important that's going to be.
Yeah, with the loss of Ryan Jensen, their starting center, it's huge. And the thing is, as soon as we saw the report that Ryan went down with the injury, I think most people covering the league had the same thought, which is this is going to be difficult knowing how important Jensen has been to Tom Brady the last few seasons and the relationship they have built. But then you heard Tom Brady actually talk about it to the media. And he did not sound good at all. He pretty much wore his emotions on his sleeves. They're just alluding to the fact that, yeah, this is going to be a challenge without him. And you look back at Brady's career over the years with David Andrews, the list is not that lengthy, but he's always had a really strong relationship with his center. And losing Ryan Jensen, I just don't think it's a player you just go and rebuild and find. Brady's Brady. He'll figure a way to make it work. But I still think this is going to be the biggest challenge, which is why I believe Brady's going to have the best season that he has had since he's probably turned 40 in order for the Bucs to go deep in the playoffs again.
And that's a remarkable statement considering, again, he led the league in passing yards and touchdowns last year. Danny, how about it? How about Brady at 45 and all that is on his plate?
Yeah, I agree. I think he's got to have his best season since being a Buck, and that's a huge ask. But I don't think it's just him, Greeny. You know, I can make the case that Leonard Fournette has got to have the best season of his career because of these offensive line issues. And Julio Jones has got to go back to having, you know, a 2018-2019 season. Mike Evans is going to have to continue to be a guy that goes for 1,200, 1,300 yards. I don't know if they can do that with an offensive line that's got to replace 60% of its pieces right now. Russell Gage has got to have the best year of his career. Newly signed tight end Kyle Rudolph has got to go back to like 2016 Kyle Rudolph. I always say this. When you have an elite offensive line, which is what Tampa Bay has had since Brady became their starting quarterback, it magnifies what everybody else does well. It allows pieces that are good players to become really good players. When you have an offensive line that struggles, it magnifies everybody's flaws. And they're going to ask these big body receivers to become little guys that catch and run, and I don't see that happening in Tampa Bay.
So how about it? I want to put the pick bars up here because we haven't done any of them yet today. And let's get to one thing we planned as everything keeps getting taken away from me. So we got the Rams are the defending NFC champs. They were in the Super Bowl last year. Chris Canty, which team right now? Because, you know, Brady would feel like a lot of people's pick. In your mind, are the Bucs the biggest threat to the Rams in the NFC this year?
No, it's the 49ers. It's the team that's in their own division. And I get it, they're breaking in a new quarterback. But let's not pretend that Jimmy Garoppolo was the guy that was doing the heavy lifting with the 49ers offense. It was predicated on the run game and the receivers being great with run after catch yardage. No receiving core averaged more yards after catch than the 49ers last year. So it's a lot of short passing game. And if you think about the Shanahan offense, even going back to Mike Shanahan when he was with the Denver Broncos, they have always thrived when they've had quarterbacks that had mobility to their game. The zone read potential, but also the zone running game married with the bootleg passing game. I just look at the 49ers offensive line, defensive line. They're really, really strong. I think they're the biggest challengers to the Rams.
Interesting pick. Diana?
A three. No, I'm just kidding. I'm also saying the 49ers. Chris did an awesome job just laying out the offense. To me, the strength of this 49ers team is going to be the defense, and they have been the kryptonite to the Rams, and I think it will continue.
Danny, that's two votes for the 49ers. Where were you on this?
Yeah, because of the injuries at Tampa Bay, I'm going with San Francisco as well. I'll simply put it this way. There's a lot of unknown with Trey Lance. I will challenge anybody here or watching, name me the last quarterback for Kyle Shanahan that played bad.
Yeah, no, he's a tremendous offensive coach and tremendous offensive coordinator. I have to look this up exactly. I think Tom Brady won the Super Bowl before Trey Lance was born. If not, it's going to have been very, very close. If the question is about the Super Bowl, my answer is always going to be Tom Brady until he retires, which means we got at least another 5 years of that. Okay, let me take a short break. I got to come back to this 49er conversation, by the way. And then we got to get back to this. The mess in Miami. The punishments handed down to the Dolphins owner. Did the league go far enough? The tampering scandal covered next. Get up on ESPN.